Welcome to the Closing Culture Podcast. I am your host, Sean Slaughter, real estate agent and investor. This real estate podcast goes on top of the roof, behind the wall, and under the flow to show you how real estate really works. What's good? My name is Sean Slaughter, and welcome to Closing Culture, where we talk about real estate and life because real estate is life. So you've moved into your house. You've purchased your furniture. You've organized it, decorated, got it set in, got your kids' room set up. You've gone back to your jobs and you're kind of getting into a routine. Now is a really, really good time, if you haven't done so already, to begin to set some financial goals. One of the reasons that many couples get divorced is because of money. And that beautiful house that you just bought in that wonderful neighborhood can be tested if you don't start setting some financial goals for your future. All right. So today I want to talk about financial goals set as a household and some of the steps to actually get there. Let's start with number one, talk money. You have to talk about money. I'm always shocked when I meet couples that don't know what their spouse makes, don't know what their spouse brings home after taxes, mystery packages just showing up and don't really know where that money is coming from. It just amazes me because, you know, when you get married, you become a union and you work kind of like a corporation. And for this marriage, this corporation to work, you're going to have to talk about finances, what's coming in and what's going out. What are you going to do to increase the money that's coming in? What are you going to do to decrease the money that's going out? You're going to have to decide on the things that you want to spend on, you know, and the things that you're not going to spend money on. But in order to get to this point, you have to talk money, all right? So that's the first thing that I would say, start talking money. And what you'll realize is as you talk money, if you've come from poverty or you came from a family that did not do well with money, money can be very triggering. It can actually be a mental health issue to talk about money. And you may be using money to solve a problem that you need therapy for. So if you start talking money and you start getting triggered, angry, upset, frustrated, mad, there may be an issue there that you need to go see somebody about. Number two, when you talk about money, number two, consider yourselves equal. Unfortunately, we have this, and a lot of times it's on us men, we have this hyper-masculine way that we approach family. You know, I'm the man of the house. I decide where the money goes. I decide and so on and so forth. When two people get married, they become a team. And if you watch the Lakers or the Knicks or any basketball, football, baseball team, a team does not operate well when one person is selfish, right? A team operates well when your star player also passes the ball and encourages other players and so on and so forth. And so you might be the star moneymaker in your house because you make more than the other spouse. That doesn't mean that you're smarter. It doesn't even mean that you know what to do with the money. The other person actually may have the financial wherewithal that you lack. And so don't look down on the other person, especially if the other person is staying home, taking care of the kids, and this is what you've decided on. Don't put yourself up on this pedestal because I make all the money and you don't make no money. I think they said that those that stay home and take care of kids, I think that job was worth like $150,000 if they had to, you know, actually judge it as, you know, a job in corporate America, it'd be worth about $150,000. So everybody is valuable. Both of you bring something valuable to the table. Approach this conversation from that standpoint and things will go well. If you approach this conversation from an arrogant or a prideful standpoint, then you're not going to get anywhere. Number three, put it in writing. As you're having this meeting, okay, how much income do you make? How much income do I make? Okay, let's put that in writing. How much is that together? Okay, this is how much we make a year. Let's break that down. How much are we making a month? Okay, this is how much we make a month. How much are our bills? Okay, we're making, we're making $12,000 a month, but we have $11,000 worth of bills. wow, no wonder things are tight. We're spending all our money on bills and eating out and buying things on Amazon. Write it down so that you can see it. Additionally, because money can be a sensitive topic, you don't want somebody to say, well, you said, well, I said, well, no. We're going to write this thing down. You're going to look at it. I'm going to look at it. You know, one of the best things you can do is go into Google Drive, start a Google Doc, and share that Google Doc with your spouse, and they can pull up on their computer, and you can actually write on it together, all right? So nobody is kind of controlling that situation and has more information than somebody else. You want both of you to have the information that's needed, but putting in writing so that there's no confusion. You always have your financial goal here. And when you get off track, you can always come back to this document. All right. If this document needs to be updated, somebody made more money. All right. Or an unexpected expense came up that's going to, you got to pay for the next year or two. You can update this document. All right. But on this document should be the income that you're making. Total. What's that breakdown is monthly, your monthly bills and expenses. And the amount of money that you would like to make, all right? Expenses that should be cut. How much money are you putting in savings? Your savings should be a bill. The easiest way for you to put money away for savings, the easiest way for you to put money in your 401k or 403 is A, have your job take it out automatically, right? For your IRA or your 403, or for your personal savings, make it a bill. Have it automatically deduct. When you know you have, you know, that large sum of money, you get paid every 2 weeks or every month or whatever it is, when you know you have that large sum of money in your bank account, that large payday, make it a bill, take it out immediately. $100, $200, $500, and put it in the savings. These are things you're going to agree on and put in writing. Number four, create multiple bank accounts. I think this is critical and key. Here's how this works. You both have a joint bank account that, and I'll tell you how me and my wife do it. We have a joint bank account that our funds go into. And the money that goes into this account is money to pay bills, money for, you know, things for our girls. If we're going out to eat, we may pull money from that, but mainly it's the bills. Checking account, and it's actually labeled bills checking in my bank account. Now, me and my wife have our own businesses, right? So, if you don't own a business, it may look like this: you have a joint bank account. Your job deposits the check into that joint bank account. Your spouse's job deposits the check into that joint bank account, and then you each have a separate personal checking account. Out of that personal checking account is where you, out of that joint bank account, me and my wife actually do allowances, right? We give ourselves an allowance because we pay ourselves. I'm a real estate agent, so you know how that goes. I get paid whenever. She gets paid on a weekly basis. So we do it on a monthly basis, okay? We do it on a bi-weekly basis. Every 2 weeks, we get a certain amount of money out of that bills checking account that goes to our personal checking accounts. Our situation is a little bit more complicated because we both own businesses. And so we have a joint personal checking account. But we also I have my LJS Enterprises, which is my real estate business checking account. She has her Hummingbird Counseling Service for Women. That's her checking account. So she gets paid to her checking account, Hummingbird. I get paid to my LJS business checking account. And then what we'll do is we'll take the money out of our checking accounts and we'll pay ourselves, right? Because we're both S corporations. So we're business owners, but we're also W-2s in our business. So we'll pay ourselves into that joint checking account. And that money is what we use to pay bills and so on and so forth. But then even the money that we have in that joint checking account, then we'll take out an allowance for ourselves and we'll put that in our personal checking account or our Cash App card or whatever to be like, hey, this is my personal spending money. All right. That's how we do it. So we have two businesses. Our businesses pay us, you know, just like your job may pay you to your joint checking account. Our businesses pay us as employees to our joint checking account. Joint checking account, we pay bills. And then also we give ourselves an allowance out of that joint checking account and put it into our own personal checking account. So we got like, I have a business checking and savings. She has a business checking and savings. We have a joint personal checking and savings. Then we each have individual personal checking and savings. It's OD. It is OD. But for me, it helps me kind of separate like the different accounts, different monies. Money's never commingling. And you know, once I spend my money, my allowance, that's it. Cause we live by a budget. All right. We live by a budget. And, getting back really quick to number three, what you're doing is when you're putting it in writing, remember number three, you're creating a budget. That's what you're doing. You should have a budget. Now, and here's what this means. If you decided that every week you're going to pay yourself, let's just say $300. And your spouse pay herself $300, you pay yourself $300. You do whatever you want at $300. If your spouse wants to take $300 and buy number Amazon stuff, go ahead. That's their personal money. As long as they know when that $300 is done for that week, it's a wrap. You're out of money. You can't dip back into the checking account and take money because you ran out of your money. And this will just teach some financial discipline. All right. So number four is what we're on, create separate accounts. And then number five, do monthly or quarterly check-ins. Now, monthly may be too much because of life, but you want to do at least quarterly check-ins. Because one's going to be more money aware than the other. I'm the money aware one in my family. I'm always pocket watching. You know what I'm saying? Our accounts to make sure that we're putting money in savings, putting money in retirement. We're not overspending. And so then we can do a quarterly check-in and say, hey, here's what it looked like for this quarter. All right, we're doing pretty good. We might, you know, we said, you know, when we wrote our plan down, we said that we're going to eat out once a week, maybe twice a week. And it looks like, you know, this last quarter, we've averaged about three times a week eating out. So this upcoming quarter, let's reduce that. All right. And this just helps you to adjust your budget. Adjust your financial goals if necessary, get back on track if you've gone off track, but do quarterly check-ins. And then one of the things that we also do is, you know, we do like a vision meeting where we vision board every January. Just talking about just setting the year, setting the vision for the year. And, but that's also where you can have your annual financial meeting for your family. This is our goal for this year. And typically what those goals are is a savings goal. We want to save $20,000 for this year. It can also be how you're going to make more money, whether you pick up a couple of hustles and gigs, whether you decide that you're going to go back to school so that you can, you know, get a better position. You may be changing jobs, transitioning, but you want to set those goals in January so that nobody's surprised. If there's a gap in money because you're transitioning jobs and things like that, we already knew, we were paying for it, we were saving for it, we wrote it down, we put in the budget, and this will just help the communication be so much smoother and everybody will have a plan and a direction in where they're going. All right, well, that's a wrap. Again, my name is Sean Slaughter. This is Closing Culture. Be good to yourself and somebody else.